Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Tuesday. It is the 19th of July in the year 2005. Hold on for one sec, folks. Sorry about that. I grabbed the tape to put it in and found out that it was an empty case, so I wanted to get this broadcast tonight going. Let me share our spiritual message with you, and then we're going to bring our lovely guest up. This is from A Course in Miracles, from the text, page 145. Listen to this, it's very short. The Holy Spirit's voice is as loud as your willingness to listen. And that voice is within us, yes, ladies and gentlemen. As Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within. The Holy Spirit's voice is as loud as your willingness to listen. All right. Well, our guest this evening, last night, as you know, I got on the air late. Corey was going to be on with us, and there was a mix-up in a schedule. But Corey Brackett is our guest this evening, ladies and gentlemen. And we're going to be talking about, as I promised you, about aspartame. And it's killer is exactly what it is. And tons and tons and tons of aspartame is being put into the foods, not just in the U.S., but all over this world. Corey, thanks so much for being here tonight, honey.
It's good to be here, Jackie.
Uh-huh. I was wondering when I said that, do you think that they're using aspartame in the third world countries or just in countries that what they call the developed nations like the U.S., Canada, U.K., Australia, France, Germany, etc.?
You know, I'm not sure about that, but I can tell you that recently we got several orders from Nigeria.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
For your DVD.
Right.
Now, this is only in DVD format, yes?
No, it's in VHS as
well. Oh, wonderful. That's wonderful. Because I think that there are quite a few of our listeners, maybe, who don't have a DVD player yet.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I got my first one this year, and it was funny because when my I got it last year, because when my grandchildren came to visit, Ashy, my oldest granddaughter, said, "Mama, you have a CD player." I said, "Yes," and she said, "Well, I just can't believe it. You haven't even entered this century yet, and now you've got a CD player." But anyway, I'm glad to know that. And folks, we're going to give you, let's do this, Corey, before we get into our conversation. Let's give our listeners the information as to how they can get a hold of either the VHS tape or the DVD. And then we'll do it again later, but we can get involved in conversation and wind up out of time.
Mm-hmm. Sure. There are two different places that they can go to get either a DVD or a VHS. To get a DVD copy, they can go to docworkers.com. Doc is in documentary, workers, dockworkers.plural.com, and it's all one word, dockworkers.com. And to get a copy on VHS, they can go to soundandfury.tv. And is spelled out, it's all one word, soundandfury.tv.
Okay, now, we have the backbone of this radio broadcast are our shortwave listeners, and many of them do not have internet access. So is there an address or a phone number where these people can call to get an address so that they can order the tape if they want it, Corey?
Yeah, I can give you the address over the phone. It's Sound and Fury Productions, 2301 East Broadway, Suite 111, and that's in...
Wait a minute, honey, wait.
Oh, sure.
Suite 111.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
In Tucson, T-U-C-S-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona,
mm-hmm.
A-Z.
A-R-I-Z. Okay.
85719.
Okay, I'm going to repeat that here. Folks, that is Sound and Fury, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just period, Sound and Fury.
Yeah, that will be fine.
Okay.
It will get
And the address is 2301 2301 East Broadway, Suite 111, Suite 111, Tucson, T-U-C-S-O-N, Arizona, A-R-I-Z, and the zip code is 85719, the postal code.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the cost on the DVD and the audio tape or the videotape on?
They're $25 plus $5 shipping and handling.
Okay, so for $30, and that includes the shipping and handling.
Right.
And they have to say what they want, a DVD or a VHS.
Exactly. Specify
okay.
which one you want.
Okay. All right. Well, Corey, do you want to start by giving our listeners a brief background on yourself and how you got involved in this research, honey?
Sure. The documentary is Sweet Misery, A Poisoned World. And
Sweet Misery, yes.
Mm-hmm. And that was started, we began that a couple years ago after I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And I was, needless to say, quite devastated with that and was scrambling around searching for answers, trying to figure out what was going on. And the more research I did, the more I kept seeing aspartame in conjunction with MS. And that caused me to do further research, and then I started wondering if there was any fire where there was smoke here. So my husband and I traveled across the country, and we interviewed doctors and lawyers and activists and other survivors and found that there really was fire there, and there was something going on. And we took a camera with us, a video camera, and while we were there, we ended up creating the documentary Sweet Misery.
I had a question I wanted to ask you. Those dogs, I'm sorry, they've distracted me. You've got a list here of just a few. You said there are over 90 symptoms. And as soon as you went off the aspartame, stopped using it, oh, I know what my question was. As soon as you stopped using it, you started feeling better almost immediately, yes?
Well, it was a slow process for me. I had been consuming diet soda and diet-containing products for, about 20 years. And so, and I had been a pretty heavy consumer. And so the process of that really, it affected my brain and it affected different functioning in my body to the point that it took a while to recover from that.
Okay, because some of the people that are on the video, some of these people almost immediately began to feel better.
Mm-hmm.
There is a radio, mainstream radio show host that has contacted me that listens to the broadcast, this broadcast, and he was telling me about all these health problems he was having. And then I got this report on aspartame, and I talked to him, and I said, my guy. In fact, they were about down to diagnosing him as having MS or lupus. And then I mentioned the aspartame to him, and he said, you know what, I've just found out about it. I'm off it all. And he said, Jackie, he was feeling better already that quickly.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's very difficult because there was, when aspartame was first introduced to the market, and since then, when occasionally there's somebody who's tried it for the first time, they'll get an immediate reaction. And they're, you know, and that happens sometimes. But then there are other people who have chronic, slow, gradual buildup of symptoms that they don't even realize because sometimes they're so subtle until, boom, it knocks you over the head with a hammer and you realize something is seriously wrong.
You mentioned here I've got a sheet that Carla sent me, and on it, it says there are over 90 symptoms and side effects of aspartame. And it's brain tumors. That's a big factor.
Right. That's one of them. There are 92 symptoms that were submitted to the FDA back in, I think, 83 or 84 about aspartame. And part of the reason why there are so many symptoms is because a lot of them are neurological in, you know, in their problems. And so that can affect the brain, obviously, and that can affect numerous organs and systems.
So a few of them you've listed here: brain tumors, double vision, loss of memory, fibromyalgia. That was a new one, I remember, when suddenly people were being diagnosed with this brand new disease. Dizziness, multiple sclerosis, chronic fatigue, weight gain, bloating, headache, etc. That's just a few of the 90 symptoms. And it says that, you know, after you watch the DVD, that you'll be looking at the label of everything you consume in the future. And if it says NutraSweet, you may want to put it back. I would say anybody who watches this video, because I keep thinking of people in my life, Corey, that I know, you know, do diet soda and stuff like that. I'll be making a lot of phone calls, I can tell you that. But anybody who watches the video and doesn't stop it, well, there is something, they've gone, their brain has gone too far.
Well, it's addictive. And so a lot of people cling to diet-containing diet products, thinking that they're, especially thinking that they're doing their body good, when in fact it's often the opposite. And then they cling to it so much, craving it. I went through some pretty severe withdrawal symptoms when I got off of it.
Aspartame is addictive? Just like MSG.
Right, exactly. And in fact, they're both similar in how they can affect the brain. MSG was shown to cause holes in the brains of rats by this doctor, Dr. John Olney, who's quite a doctor. And from there, he started researching other things, and one of them was aspartame, and he started finding that it could also do similar things to the brain.
Is that what breaks down the brain-blood barrier?
Yes. It can seep through the blood-brain barrier, and often industry will say that, oh, well, you've got a blood-brain barrier, and it doesn't seep through, but everything from multiple sclerosis to extreme exercise to aging can break it down. And so that really isn't a very good protection, because there have been studies that show that there are numerous ways that the blood-brain barrier can break down upon occasion.
So the blood-brain barrier is there allegedly or supposedly to stop toxins from getting out of the bloodstream into the brain. And for the most part, it seems like maybe it doesn't have to be an illness. You just mentioned, you know, extreme exercise. There's all kinds of things that can happen that break down this barrier.
Exactly.
And the excitotoxins. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Excitotoxins are substances that literally excite brain cells to death. There's a doctor that we spoke with for the documentary, Dr. Russell Blaylock, and he wrote a book called Excitotoxins. MSG is one of them, and aspartic acid, which is one of the breakdown components of aspartame, is another. That's about 40% of the aspartame molecule. And those can be a serious problem. And what I think Dr. Blaylock had said was prolonged exposure of excitotoxins over a long period of time causes these excitotoxins to pass through, so that even if you don't have something like hypoglycemia, for example, which can break down the blood-brain barrier, over a prolonged time and prolonged exposure to these excitotoxins, they will seep through the blood-brain barrier.
Okay. NutraSweet. It has different names, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So if people should not just look for a label that to stay away from that says NutraSweet, because they've named it, they've given it different names. Can you give us some of them, or maybe the suggestion is stay away from any artificial sweetener?
Well, that's what I personally try to do, because I really, you know, I feel like if it wasn't out there in nature, it doesn't really belong in my body.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
And the more that I'm starting to feel so much better. My head is cleared up. I'm starting to crave carrots, and I know that sounds kind of dorky, but that's really what happens after you get away from these foods. Slowly your body starts to wake up and realize that we've been putting junk into our bodies for so long. And there's something called a synergistic effect, too, which I should mention, that where in, let's say you're exposed to mercury or you're exposed to MSG or you eat some aspartame. If you had one of those things, that would be bad enough. But you combine them, and the sum of those two or three things is greater than what the sum would ordinarily be. So it has what's called a synergistic effect. It kind of compounds. So it's worse in combining them than it would be separately. And we live in a society, in a world today, that is so bombarded with, we're so bombarded with toxins in our environment, in our food, in so many different ways, that we haven't really tested these things in combination, but only in isolation, and that's not really the best way to judge them.
When did aspartame hit the market?
It was first approved for use in dry foods, and then it was approved for carbonated beverages in
1983. And in your video, You've just done an excellent job, I must say this.
Oh, well,
because
thank you, Jackie.
You've got doctors, you've got lawyers, victims, interviews with these people, including that jerk from G.D. Searle saying that all these tests that have been done over and over and over, it's the most tested thing that the FDA has ever passed, and it's never found to be harmful.
You know, something that's very interesting about that quote from the industry is that we have another doctor on the video called Dr. Walton, who did a study of the studies. He took all the studies, looked at them, looked where they were, how they were funded, and what the results of the studies were. And he found a significant correlation between a positive view of aspartame and how it was funded. If it was funded by industry or some way down the ladder, it was funded by industry, whereas virtually all independently funded studies showed one problem or another with aspartame.
Mm-hmm. And tell our listeners how this thing got pushed through the FDA.
It was quite a struggle. It was first, according to G.D. Searle, which is the company that eventually got it approved
by
the FDA.
I want you to continue. I'm going to have to be away from the mic for a minute.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll be right back, honey.
No problem. In 1965, G.D. Searle was the company that got it eventually passed through the market, and they claimed that in 1965 that one of their scientists was working on an ulcer drug when he happened to get some of the substance on his finger, and instinctively he licked it, noticing the sweet taste. From there on out, they decided that they had something that they wanted to market. And by 1970, which was 5 years later, this Dr. John Olney, who I had mentioned earlier, found that oral intake of aspartic acid caused holes in the brains of mice. So there's already some issues by that time in 1970. In 1977, rather, Donald Rumsfeld, of all people, was the CEO of Searle, of G.D. Searle, and was the CEO until aspartame's approval. And there's a bunch of shenanigans, which is the way one doctor put it, how aspartame got eventually approved. There was all sorts of pushing and...
Money and promises.
Exactly.
Money crossing palms and promises of jobs.
Mm-hmm. We go into it in more detail in the documentary, but it's one of the earliest examples of, or one of the very strongest examples of revolving door policy. Revolving door is when somebody moves from a government job, say in the FDA, to private industry and back and forth. And that happened quite a bit with aspartame, where people approved it or pushed it through in one place, way, shape, or form, and then they were offered very lucrative jobs in the industry or in G.D. Searle's law firm or public relations firm. It just was rampant.
In fact, he made the statement that seven of the people who were instrumental in pushing it through to passage wound up working in some capacity for G.D. Searle of the FDA. And, folks, another thing that was pointed out here, you know, I've had this view of the FDA that everybody up there, out there, is just totally crooked. And according to this testimony, there were people in the FDA, the doctors, the scientists, who wanted to stop this. And they would set up some type of an investigation or whatever. It would move up to the bureaucrats in the policy-making department of the FDA, and then it just, everything they tried to do just got overridden. So there are actually are some decent people, or at least that time were some decent people, working for the FDA.
Right. There were... If I recall correctly, there was a board of inquiry that was set up to investigate aspartame, and it eventually was approved through this, and I think two of the members of the board went up to the FDA commissioner late at night, the night before it was going to be approved, and begged him not to get it approved.
And they already knew, absolutely knew, the dangers of this product.
Well, there was a Bressler report, too, which was a look into some of the studies that had been done, and this was by the entity that had been that was the precursor to the FDA. And there was one doctor who described it as either a problem with, you know, what they were doing, or if they didn't see the problems, it was the worst study. It was some of the worst science that was out there. For example, one animal in one of the studies was reported alive at week 88, dead from week 92 through 104, but miraculously alive again at 108 and at week 108, and finally dead at week 112.
Wow. And they said that they actually, when they were autopsying or biopsy, whatever they did with these dead rats and animals that they were experimenting on, they would literally cut the tumors out of them, throw them away, and count the animal as healthy.
Right.
And literally broke federal laws with their skewed reports, with their lies, with their withholding information that they had withheld from the FDA.
There was another doctor that we talked to in the documentary who had mentioned that how you view a product is going to influence the results of any study that you do. And so, you know, if somebody is looking to prove that something is safe, then they're going to find the results that benefit them the most in the way that they're looking for.
So what would you, some of the symptoms that you've given here,
mm-hmm.
they're pretty already on their way. I mean, when you're talking fibromyalgia and brain tumors, chronic fatigue, multiple sclerosis, lupus, I think it would be included in that.
Right.
But what symptoms, maybe initial symptoms?
Well, headache and migraines were number one on the list.
Okay.
And a lot of times people experience those types of symptoms early on. Thinking in a fog, having memory problems can be very subtle symptoms as well. Ironically, after I got off of aspartame, I lost 70 pounds.
Oh, my.
After I stopped taking diet products, that was when I lost weight, whereas before I tried everything and couldn't lose anything. I was going up and up.
And the more you tried, the more diet products you used.
Exactly.
Because you're certainly not overweight on your video, Corey.
Well, thank you. I feel a lot more back to a normal weight now. But for a long time, I looked like I had a cellophane pulled onto my face. I looked very tight-skinned and very puffy and not very healthy-looking.
Mm-hmm. How long were you ill before they diagnosed you with MS and you began doing your research?
I think before I got diagnosed with MS, it was probably about two or three months.
Oh.
So but it did take me a while to put two and two together and realize. One of the things that really was the cincher was that I took some aspartame tabs for under the, Breathman tabs for under the tongue at one point when I was starting to feel better, and I slipped again and immediately felt worse.
Uh-huh. But you were using aspartame for a long, long time.
Right.
So yours was a slow build-up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was a slow build-up, and it wasn't one of those things that, you know, once it's a slow build-up, it takes a while to recover. I would say I'm still recovering in a lot of ways. I don't know if I'll ever be back to what I was like in high school it came on the market.
That's been about 2 years ago that you got off it, honey?
No, it's been it's been about 3.5 or 4 years now.
Oh, okay. And can you explain to our listeners how aspartame breaks down in the body?
Sure. It has three main components. One of them I mentioned previously, and that's aspartic acid. That's 40% of the molecule, and that's an excitotoxin, which can excite the brain cells to death. Then there's phenylalanine, which breaks down further into a known brain tumor-causing agent, which is called diketopeperazine. And then that's 50% of the molecule.
Phenylalanine breaks down to
diketopeperazine.
Okay. You know what?
What?
We're at our half hour, and we have to take a short break here. So why don't we, let's pick this up on the other side. And you're going to talk about the methanol?
Yes.
Oh, my God, that was watching this thing is very disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
Watching the video is very disturbing, and yet it's something I see that we all need to know about, and that we need to begin alerting our loved ones, our friends, our associates, anybody we know. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back right after this with Corey Brackett. Stay with us. Have your pen in your hand. You can get my address if you would like to help support this broadcast to stay on the air. Don't go away.
Thank you. You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com worldwide. Freedom is never free. We need your support today at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. Don't do internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Back, and as long as you have your pen in your hand, if you didn't get Corey's address at the beginning of the broadcast, let me give it to you again, folks. And she did give us... I'm going to let her do that because I don't... I've got notes all over this pad. I'm going to give the address if you want to order it that way. It is Sound and Fury, 2301 East Broadway, Suite 111, Suite 111. That's in Tucson, T-U-C-S-O-N, Arizona, 85719. The video or VHS, the DVD or VHS, each of them are $30. That includes your shipping and handling. And one of the websites, Corey, you tell us, you give us the websites, honey, because I don't know if I wrote them down right.
Sure. If you'd like to order a DVD, they can be gotten at www.docworkers.com. That's docworkers.com.
Okay.
Docworkers.com. Or if you'd like to get a VHS copy, you can order one at www.soundandfury.tv. That's SoundandFury.tv. Sound and Fury. It's all one word.
Yeah, and I have a suggestion, folks. We have birthdays, anniversaries, etc., for our loved ones, and oftentimes go out and buy them gifts. And this would be just an absolute wonderful gift to give to your loved ones, and especially those who aren't careful about what they're eating, because a lot of times, even though they aren't intentionally eating because it's, quote, artificially sweetened, doesn't mean that they're not getting it. And the MSG, as Corey was telling us, it acts very much, and by the way, the video, they do address the monosodium glutamate within this video on aspartame. And I want you to know that you have to be careful, too, with the MSG, because what they're doing is they're fooling people, and they've got products now that say no added MSG. Well, and then you think it's MSG-free, but what it means is they didn't add any more to what's already in the product or some of the components of the product. and these would always be your processed foods anyway. Another name for MSG is hydrolyzed vegetable protein. And I know I've seen that on labels before, and it looks very innocent and very harmless. Hydrolyzed vegetable protein, MSG, causes obesity. It does a lot of the things that the aspartame does, and they actually showed on the video when they fed one of the animals MSG, how shortly after ingesting it that these brains holes began to appear in the animal's brains. And I think they followed it for 24 hours or maybe longer than that, but it just kept, the holes kept enlarging. This is poison, folks, that they have been pushing. And literally, just like Ritalin, it's tons and tons and tons and tons of it. Corey, I read a report that over there in Iraq, that mm-hmm. they are just sending thousands of cases of diet soda to the troops over there. And in this report I read, and I don't know if this is so, maybe you could confirm or not, but that when it's heated, it actually highly activates it. And they said that this stuff that's out there in the hot sun until, you know, they're ready to drink it. Maybe they put ice with it or something. But the young people over there, the people over there, the Army personnel, are drinking tons of this stuff.
That's too bad. I'm not sure if they're consuming it or not over in Iraq, but I can confirm that at 86 degrees Fahrenheit, I think it is, the aspartame begins to break down. That's sometimes there's a can that somebody can get of a diet soda beverage that isn't sweet and tastes a little funny, and that's when the aspartame is already broken down.
What does that mean, it's already broken down?
It is broken down into the three components. And that was what the
yeah.
other thing that I was going to mention was
yes.
that the third breakdown product is methanol, which is wood alcohol. It's the same thing that caused people to go blind during Prohibition in the 20s. That breaks down further into formaldehyde, which is embalming fluid, which is the same, you know, you're basically embalming yourself. You're pre-embalming yourself before you die.
And according to the doctor that was talking about this, the body stores formaldehyde. It does not reject it. It doesn't get rid of it.
Exactly. And there are a lot of doctors who state that that is a very possible reason why people have long-term effects and chronic effects, because the methanol will not break down and accumulates in the body.
And one of the things evidently that they've said, those who are trying to say that aspartame is safe, is that yes, one of the components breaks down into methanol. However, they said that fruit has a whole lot more methanol in it than aspartame. And what this doctor pointed out is that fruit is bonded to pectin, and so it's natural, and the body is not affected in any way, because the methanol cannot get unbonded from the pectin, so it's carried right through the body safely. And he said, I made a note of this, that the methanol, methyl alcohol, which, as you said, is wood alcohol, breaking down to formaldehyde, he says it's 5,000 times as poison as ethyl alcohol or the sipping alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
5,000 times. This is what people are ingesting, folks. Maybe you've been doing it. Unknowingly, of course, because, my gosh, it's safe. It's all natural stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, and ethanol is actually the what doctors will give to patients who have accidentally ingested methanol.
Oh, really?
Ethanol is the classic antidote in allopathic medicine, Western medicine, for methanol poisoning.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, where do you want to go from here, honey? Well, this video is, you know, I haven't got to the whole rest of it, as I told you. In fact, I just found out, and folks, this is something good to know, on the DVD, you probably know this, but I don't, but I spoke to Corey earlier today, and when I stopped it, it started all over again. I think it's about a 90-minute video, isn't it, Corey?
Yes, it's 90
and,
minutes and some seconds.
And I couldn't find a way to fast-forward, but what she's done is this DVD literally is in sections, and so just like if you were listening to a musical, a music CD, and you want to switch channels, you use your forward or back button, and if you lose your place, it'll take you up to, quote, like a chapter. And that was really great because I was able to find my way back there, Corey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are menus to the DVD. There's a menu to the DVD with chapters so that people can look at one particular part for reference or what have you. And the DVD also has special features. In particular, it has a doctor talking about aspartame in pregnancy and how the aspartame molecule can affect pregnancy. And so that's a very important special feature.
Mm-hmm. This could have been a report that I read about, once again, I think it was an MSG or maybe aspartame, but that because it does cause neurological problems, that
mm-hmm.
pregnant women, when they're ingesting these things, that their children are already born with some brain-damaged cells.
Right, right. Well, it was Dr. Blaylock, I think, again, who had mentioned the pregnancy issue.
Uh-huh.
And he basically deals with the phenylalanine content, which studies have shown that after a certain point, the phenylalanine content can cause brain damage to the fetus. And when a woman is consuming aspartame, then it actually doubles in the infant so that, you know, they might be consuming 50 milligrams of aspartame, but the infant, and so it will have so many phenylalanine, but the baby will get twice that amount. And so it can really cause some serious damage to
mm-hmm.
to children.
And do you think that there are some doctors now that are beginning to see and realize the terrible effects of aspartame?
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the most gratifying things that has come about from doing this documentary is that I have seen so many doctors who have ordered a copy, more than one copy, to have out in their waiting rooms to give to patients. A lot of doctors have contacted me to say that their eyes were opened as a result of the documentary. And, you know, I think that times are changing in general. If you notice, I don't know, you know, it depends upon where somebody lives, I suppose, and what restaurants they go to, but the ones that I've been going to, I've been seeing fewer and fewer of the blue packets out there.
The blue packets are
which
the...
Which is Equal, which is an aspartame-containing substance.
Are there any that you know of, are there any artificial sweeteners that don't use the aspartame?
Well, I don't think Splenda does, but then again, that is something also that is up to, from what I understand, there hasn't been many long-term studies about that substance.
Sure. Well, once you see the video on aspartame and MSG, because as I said, it is addressed in within the video too, I think a person would have to be nuts to to use any artificial type sweetener. And
mm-hmm.
you know, folks, this is a good lesson for all of us, or any of you who have a tendency to buy already prepared foods, boxed foods, canned foods, etc. I know it takes longer to cook from scratch. You know, I feel very blessed just because for whatever reason all of my life, even as a young wife and mother, I didn't succumb to, I was always a cook from scratch. even when my mom started using box cake mixes and things like that, for whatever reason. In fact, I've said at times I feel like a dinosaur because I don't like progress. I've never liked progress, Corey. But there are so many people, because their time is limited, they have a tendency, and folks, I don't believe that there's anything that you're going to buy. Chuck called it the poison food chain, the grocery stores that are already processed foods. You've got all those artificial colors, FD&C, yellow and blue and orange and red, and you've got artificial this and artificial that, and even the ones that don't look artificial. Hydrolyzed vegetable protein. Huh, that's fine. Well, no, it isn't. It's MSG. So you're better off starting to go back to the olden days when they used to cook from scratch. Don't you agree with that, Corey?
Absolutely. I think, in my opinion, progress, we've looked at so much as a positive thing.
I haven't.
Well, that's good. That's probably spared yourself some grief.
Yep.
Right,
and
there.
My children, today they do eat a lot of that stuff, but at least as they were growing up and when they were in my care, they didn't get that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that at least they had a decent foundation.
Right. And in childhood is when the body isn't fully developed anyway, so children are more susceptible to these things.
Yes.
Than adults, although adults are susceptible too.
Well, obviously. Wasn't there something in the video about how these substances interact with the psychotropic drugs that children are getting and a lot of people are on today? Isn't there another synergistic, or maybe it was a report I read?
Yeah, there wasn't anything specific in Sweet Misery. We're doing a documentary right now called Sweet Remedy, which is a follow-up to Sweet Misery. And that one features, for example, a doctor. He's not a doctor. He's an expert in child raising. And he's done a lot of research on Ritalin, and he's developed a way to treat ADHD and ADD without the use of drugs. And he put himself on Ritalin for 10 days with a doctor's supervision. I wouldn't recommend this to anybody, but he was saying that he felt very loopy and very strange for the whole 10 days that he was on it.
There's evidence. There's a book on psychiatry that there is really no such disorder as ADD or ADHD. And there are hyperactive children, but it might be something to consider while you're doing this Sweet Remedy thing, is to look into this. Because the psychiatric industry, I forget how many disorders that they've come up with.
Mm-hmm.
They even have one called over-coffee consumption disorder. They sit around. No, this is true, honey. And one is inability to express in writing disorder. So they sit around the round table and they come up with these things. And from so much reading that I've done, most of the children who were hyperactive and diagnosed as ADD or ADHD, when their parents took them off artificial, not necessarily just sweeteners, but all the additives, the food additives, that the children settled down.
Mm-hmm.
And so the fact is that ADD and ADHD are made up disorders. And I know that there are doctors who would say, oh, she's full of beans, but there are doctors, plenty of doctors, who have done the research and who say that the psychiatric industry, and I know this is so, they're all part of the whole crowd, Corey.
Mm-hmm. Well, we also, in Sweet Remedy, we also talked to the Feingold Organization representative in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
And that organization takes a very close look at our food supply and looks for simple solutions for children where there's a healthier alternative. They'll look at, say, potato chips, and then they'll look at a healthier version of a snack that people can use to substitute that.
Uh-huh.
They're quite good for that.
Uh-huh.
There's also, I wanted to mention, too, that there's, we were talking about artificial sweeteners in general, and there is one sweetener that has no calories that's, by all accounts, safe for diabetics, and is a sweetener, and that's a natural herb that's been used for many, many years, for
stevia.
Hundreds of years in China and Brazil, called stevia.
Stevia, yes. And you can get stevia at your health food stores.
Right.
And it is very, very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very sweet. And it, as you said, it is natural. Are you going to have that on your sweet remedy?
Yes. We talked to a couple people about stevia in this coming up documentary. So that is mentioned more in depth. And in Sweet Misery, it's mentioned. But we go further in Sweet Remedy.
Okay, because I haven't watched the whole thing yet, and you can bet that I will finish it now that I know I can stop it and continue it. But I was reading something about it on somebody's website, your video, and they said that there was a woman that was actually accused of murdering her husband, and then it was found out that he died from aspartame poisoning.
Well, her name is Diane Fleming, and she's still in prison, actually. She's serving a 50-year sentence for poisoning her husband. They during the trial, they couldn't find a motive for her to do this, and they couldn't find the poison. But aspartame, as I had said before, breaks down into methanol, and that's what it was found that he had a great deal of in his body. She also passed a lie detector test. We interviewed her in prison for Sweet Misery.
And that is on the video. I just haven't got to it yet then.
Yeah, it's toward the end.
And she's in prison. A
mm-hmm.
jury found her guilty.
Right.
She passed a lie detector test. They found no motive. And a jury found her guilty. Are you there? Corey? Folks, I heard a click, and I think I've lost our guest, and I wouldn't be able to get her back. We've only got about 7 minutes to go anyway, and so I would have to go off the air if she does try to call back to get her back on. So let me do this. Let me, first of all, the call. Oh, that's her. Folks, I'm going to go ahead and go off air just for a minute, and I'll get her back. Get her back. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay. All right, folks, we've got about 5 minutes or so left. We've got Corey back. Did it just disconnect, Corey?
Yeah, I don't know what happened. Suddenly my line went all staticky.
Yep. I heard a click and you were gone.
Oh, you know, I just heard in this office that it was lightning.
Oh, okay. All right.
I live in Tucson, Arizona, and the monsoons are hitting here.
Are you on a different phone, honey?
Yes, I got onto a different
line.
Okay,
well, you're over-modulating just a little bit.
Oh.
Maybe you could just back off it just a touch, honey.
No problem.
Oh,
sorry about that.
Yeah, no, that's okay. What I was asking you, this lady that's in prison, is there effort? Are they appealing? I mean, how long ago did this happen?
This happened a few years ago now, and she's been working toward her and her attorney have been working towards an acquittal or reversal or whatever, an appeal for you know, since then. But it's been quite a difficult process, and part of the problem is that aspartame is still considered a very counterculture. issue, and it's not something that is very easily explained in, you know, a general mainstream situation.
Well,
and her attorney thought immediately that there must be a murderer here. There, you know, this must not have been an accidental death or anything. So he didn't look for a what, he looked for a who, and she was the most readily available who there. So even her defense attorney looked at her son and tried to blame it on her son rather than her to get her off. So the jury was assuming that there was definitely a murder
there. And this is because they found methanol in his system?
Mm-hmm.
Well, wouldn't somebody know if you were being poisoned with wood alcohol? Wouldn't a person know that it's, I mean, you could taste wood alcohol, can't you?
Well, we have it, you know, every day if we consume diet soda on a regular basis or diet products,
okay.
And we don't necessarily taste it.
Okay, but that breaks down after we drink it.
Right.
After we drink it, it breaks down in the body to that. Well, I would say that the woman, folks, should be remembered in it. What's her name again?
Diane Fleming.
Diane Fleming should be remembered in our prayers, and that maybe a miracle will happen for her. That is tragic. That is
absolutely
just tragic, Corey. But you see, the doctors that you interviewed, and the all the professionals that you interviewed, you knew, they knew their stuff, and I cannot see why some of these people couldn't write something explaining and showing, and this would be new evidence that could be brought forth.
I believe that they have written letters, Jackie. It's one of those things that is, you know, if people are very difficult to get through to,
uh-huh.
if they're stuck on
hey,
one
Corey,
thing.
Hey, Corey, we're out of time. I just had a thought. I know that you've been on quite a few radio broadcasts, but if our listeners have a local program and they would like to try to get you on as a guest, do you have a phone number that we can give?
Yes, absolutely. It's area code 520-624-3143.
If you have a local radio station, folks, you might want to talk to them about getting Corey on and getting this information out and share it. Corey, thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much, Jackie.
God bless you, honey.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we'll be back with you tomorrow night. Thank you for being here. And thank God for Corey's effort. And we'll be back with you tomorrow night. Bye-bye. Good night, Corey.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the SweetLiberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Okay, Mr. Smith, let's take a look at what you're doing for the long term.
Okay, let's see. I have several mutual funds.